The recording has begun again at 9:34. Dr. King.
Thanks, Judy. So we're at agenda 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters, review, consideration, and action. 9A, case 2131 and 2228, Stephen Kempton. This is just a discussion regarding his compliance with the amended ICA. Mindy, do you want to give us an update?
Yes. Good morning, members of the board. At your January 24th board meeting, you ordered continued compliance monitoring of Mr. Kempton's clinical practice as it related to his amended ICA. Two audits were completed for three dates of service. And just as a reminder, the interim consent agreement states that Mr. Kempton shall have a female chaperone present while examining, supervising, or treating all female patients in all settings, that the chaperone will sign each chart, and that the chaperone will document her presence for each patient seen by the respondent by maintaining a board staff pre-approved log. The documents requested for each of the audits consisted of patient and staff schedules and a sampling of patient medical records for the dates 125, 127, and February 2nd, 2023. Mr. Kempton is compliant with terms of the amended ICA for the audits completed. All the records reviewed document in the narrative note that a chaperone is present, and flow sheets document the chaperone's initials on each date of service. And as well, the chaperone logs that I receive each week do match the scheduled visits for the female patients that are scheduled in his clinic. That's the end of my briefing.
Thank you, Mindy. Good to hear.
We are scheduled for informal hearing next month. I guess my question would be is if you would desire for me to continue monitoring.
Board members, what are your thoughts?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say my preference would be yes, because the first monitoring didn't come back as we had hoped. This one did. So I think just for consistency, I think another month of it before his next, for the informal hearing would be helpful. What are your thoughts, Karen?
Yeah, those were my thoughts exactly.
Okay.
Agreed. I think that's important to continue.
Thanks, John. Yeah, so Mindy, please, do we need to make a motion to do another, or is it you just continue to do audits?
I'll defer to Mr. Harris.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, if you can memorialize that in a motion, that would be great.
Okay. So I move that that our investigator, Mindy Richardson, continue to request charts from Mr. Kempton to audit for compliance with the amended ICA.
Second.
There's no discussion. Judy, you want to call the vote?
It has been moved and seconded to continue to direct our investigator to continue to perform compliance with Mr. Kempton. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Christina Hart, I cannot come on the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Veronica, do you have
a meeting? Please record your message.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, did you call me?
I think you were muted. We were hearing a voicemail.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Judy, I was just clarifying that I'm recused from this case.
Oh, my apologies. That will be my Achilles heel forever. Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
The motion passes.
The next item on the agenda, 2131 and 2228, Stephen Kempton, counsel's request to issue a subpoena. Mindy or Judy, do you want to give us a summary of the request?
Yes. Yeah, so at this time, Mr. Kempton and attorney, Ms. Kent, have sent a written request to the board to subpoena psychologist records of a complainant in case 2131. The request was dated February 1st of 2023, and the statutes referenced in that request were provided for board review. the motion and it's the matters for your review.
Members of the board, if I may, I'm counsel for Stephen Kempton. My name is Phil LaPointe. So I'd like to give my two cents about the subpoena request. So first off, in this matter, the psychologist therapist or a psychologist patient privilege has been waived. It's been impliedly waived pursuant to the 1986 Arizona Supreme Court case Bain versus Superior Court because of AP's complaint itself and the fact that she's presented herself as a witness to discuss these matters. It's also been waived expressly through AP's witness interviews with Mindy Richardson, where she discussed what she told to her psychotherapist, and also on page 3 of the board's investigative report, where it expressly states what AP told her psychotherapist, Dr. Meyer. So the psychologist's patient privilege has been waived, and these records are essential for Stephen's defense because they go to the heart of his accuser's credibility and veracity, which is a core issue in this matter. The board has the power to subpoena these records pursuant to ARS section 2045A3, and it should do so here so that the board can adequately investigate the complaint and Stephen can adequately defend himself and be afforded the due process he deserves. So thank you.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any thoughts? What are your thoughts? Mr. Greer?
I just don't understand how these records are necessary to Mr. Kempton to present his defense to the charges that have been alleged against him. If counsel would like to articulate that point, I just don't get it. How the complainants, or actually it's just a witness's private medical information is necessary for Mr. Kempton to provide a defense to this case.
Right, thank you. So she has presented herself as a witness in this matter and filed a complaint. And the credibility and veracity of a witness is always relevant in a proceeding where the witness is testifying. And timing of her discussions of this incident with her psychotherapist, along with anything in particular about them, and if it matches up with what she included in the complaint is directly on point to the issues in this matter, and they're necessary to allow Stephen to cross-examine and present evidence and adequately defend himself against the accusations.
Mr. Gray.
And I guess I still don't see it. You know, if she told her psychotherapist that this happened, I don't see how, I just don't get how any of this is relevant. It's incredibly burdensome on the witness, and it actually seems to be almost in bad faith. Mm-hmm. Attacking a victim by subpoenaing her personal counseling private. It seems to me, I think I'm a no on this. I haven't heard a really good reason why we should burden the witness on this. Mr. Kempton was there. We're talking about event. He was there. He will be able to testify as to what he believed happened. And I don't see how invading the witness's private confidential medical records would, augment his testimony in any way at all. So,
I may respond. So we're talking about the testimony of a witness here, which is always, their credibility is always relevant. Their veracity is always relevant. If there's records within her psychotherapist records that are inconsistent with what she's testified in this about in this complaint or what she said in her witness interviews, that's 100% relevant to determining her credibility.
Well, so would anything that Mr. Kempton told you would be entirely relevant? We're not asking for your files. I just don't think.
We haven't waived the attorney-client privilege, but the psychologist-patient privilege has been waived in this matter.
How has it been waived?
By filing a complaint, AP has put the matter at issue and pursuant to Bain versus Superior Court, the Arizona Supreme Court case, 1986, talks about the psychologist-patient privilege and the circumstances in which it's waived, and it's directly on point here. She has testified in this matter regarding specifically her communications with her psychologist, and in the report by the board, there are specific discussions regarding specific communications that were made between her and her psychotherapist. Page 3 of the report, I can pull it up. It specifically mentions what she told to her psychotherapist. So that's the difference. The attorney-client privilege hasn't been waived. The psychologist-patient privilege has been waived here.
Mr. Greer, correct me if I'm wrong, but she hasn't testified. She gave us her statement, right, in the investigative report, which counsel has access to all of the things in the investigative report. So I'm with you, Mr. Greer, and that I feel like if they want to call into question the complainant's character, they can do that in the presentation. I don't know that it's our I'm not comfortable at all with subpoenaing any of her personal medical records.
And I think counsel misunderstands the posture of this case. Unlike Bain, where the party actually was bringing a claim, here the board is the party that is conducting the investigation. The complainant is merely a witness in our examination. Yes, the complainant informed us of the conduct by the alleged conduct by Mr. Kempton, but the complainant is not a party here. The complainant is a witness here, and I don't think by simply filing a complaint with a board, you are waiving of any privilege with respect to medical records. You know, I think the same argument could be made by defending the case. Mr. Kempton is putting, you know, issues of his credibility at stake and, you know, waiving the privilege. I want to look at the investigative report real quickly. I was trying to pull up Bain and the investigative report at the same time. But I tend to agree with Dr. Kane.
So if I may, for example, in the witness interview, she specifically talks about when she told her psychotherapist about the incident. And the investigative report also talks about the same thing. So if the records show otherwise, that goes to the witness's credibility and is relevant. It's relevant at the very least. And obviously this is discretionary on behalf of the board. So whatever your decision ends up being, then so be it. But this is our position.
I appreciate your position, but I am not in favor at all of supporting that motion or that request. Mr. Greer, did you find anything?
No.
Okay.
I'm still looking.
I mean, quite frankly, the board is much more concerned with the PT's conduct, right? He was there. We have a witness. It's our investigation. And so I, at this point, would make a motion to request to deny the request.
Yeah, I'm second if nobody seconded.
Okay, Karen seconded. Josh Barton, did you say something? I'm so sorry.
No, well, sorry. I said I'm inclined to agree. I'm, you know, I'm looking at Bain. I'm trying to understand, but I think, you know, she's not a party. She's a witness. And I'm just not sure how much relevance these documents are going to have. Unless Mr. LaPointe has some kind of evidence that they're going to suggest that these documents are
so
different.
Yeah. Mr. Barton, it's just, we don't know what the documents show. So that's the whole point. And in the request for the records, or the letter that we wrote requesting the subpoena, we indicated that we could issue a protective order or something whereby the records are for attorney's eyes only to protect the confidentiality of them. who do something like that. But in cases all the time, we have access to records of a complainant.
Yep.
And we don't provide communications between attorney client in response.
Well, sure, but here you're not asking just for records of a complainant. You're asking for us to find a waiver of her psycho patient privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's a horse of different color in my mind. I mean, it would seem to me that there has to be some pretty significant evidence that she's either intentionally waived that or has done enough to put you at a really significant disadvantage. And the crux of this case in my mind is not whether she told the therapist a thing. The crux of this case is whether it happened.
Mr. Barton may have frozen.
Oh, did I?
Oh, he's moving. Nope, you're moving. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I agree with Mr. Greer and Dr. King. I think at current, I'm a no on this. I don't think there's sufficient evidence for us to find that there's been a waiver here.
And looking at what the alleged waiver is, and I'm reviewing the investigative, the only thing that she said is that she told her therapist what happened. I told my mom the same day I told the therapist. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's enough to justify a waiver.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the prejudicial effect or the intimidation that could be done by, you know, subjecting this complainant to review, I think it's just far outweighs any evidentiary value in this case. I don't know. I was kind of reading, well, I think there's a motion, and I'm going to support the motion.
If I may get some clarification, is this completely dependent on the waiver of the psychologist patient privilege? So for assuming for the sake of argument that the privilege has been waived, does that influence your decision?
I don't think there has been a waiver based on what you're telling me. I don't think there has been a waiver unless you can direct me to somewhere else in the investigative report that is more than this, but I don't think the mere fact that she said she reported this to a therapist constitutes a waiver.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, if anyone would like to go into executive session for legal advice, I may want to entertain that.
Can we go into executive session with a pending motion?
I think so. I'm not aware.
I move that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session to obtain legal advice. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone? Mr. Leone is recused. My apologies. Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay, if all board members and Mr. Harris will exit this meeting, leave the tab open so you may easily rejoin. Join the executive session meeting. I will be there in a moment.
Judy, how do I exit again without?
Just click the red hang up in the bottom, but don't close the tab, Mark.
Thank you.
Monica, Veronica, do you see everybody else gone?
Yes. And don't forget to turn off the recording.
Very good point. I'm stopping the recording at 9:54.